you have your Bibles, we're going to be turning to Psalms, the book of Psalms 1. Psalm 1. This is the third part of God's formula for success. God's formula for success. And we're going to see here, we're going to compare the blessed man to the unrighteous man. Every Christian desires God's blessing in his life. Every Christian couple longs for the blessing of God on their marriage. Every Christian couple, Christian parent, pleads with God for his blessing on his children. Yes, the blessing of God is important to us, and we all desire to experience it. However, we need to realize that God's blessing is often conditional. See, God has certain requirements before he will extend his blessing. But we never forget the ever-blessing of God is because of his grace. Someone has said in the grace is God giving us what we could never deserve. And that's exactly what it is. Mercy is God withholding that which we deserve. And that's hell. Because he says there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot meet that standard. But God's had mercy on us. He sent Jesus Christ to show forth his grace, to give us something, give us salvation that we didn't deserve. But we see here in Psalm chapter 1, in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." See, that kind of reminds me, reading that verse, what we were going over Sunday night, Psalm 119. Just turn there, hold your finger in Psalm 1. But it reminds me of verse 15, which was what we went through on Sunday night. It says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." The word meditate comes out there. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And to simply meditate is to just take something. I guess the best way to demonstrate or give you an example of meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. They eat something and then they burp it up and re-chew it. That's like us meditating on God's word. We read it and then we ponder it. We read it and then we ponder it. And that's how we absorb what God's word. Of course, prayer is, we need to be praying and ask God to show us, to help us see what's in his things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's constantly thinking about the things of God. We see there in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." What that brings to memory, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures here. But the first point we see here is one of the conditions of God's blessing is being separated from the world. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," he says, "come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Then we also see there, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's talking about be not unequally yoked. And that's with all of our relationships. Not only dealing with our personal relationships, with our future spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, however, those type of relationships, with our business relationships, with our friendships, just friendships, we need not to yoke up with the world, because you start hanging around the world, the biggest thing is God knows everything. He knows if we start hanging around the wrong type of influences. That's why evil communications corrupt good manners. If we hang around people that are evil, that are not godly, eventually, at some point, they're going to drag us away from God. That's why God specifically told them not to intermarry with all the other nations in the Old Testament, because he knew it would draw their heart away from him. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Now we're not of the world, but we live in the world. We're not to take part of the world, but we need to be that light to the world. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? See, we got to remember, when we trusted Christ for salvation, and we're no longer our own, we're bought with a price. He says there in verse 20, he says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, everything we do should bring honor and glory to Christ. It should bring honor and glory to him. We should be living in such a way that it draws others to Christ. But we're thinking about that thought, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're constantly reminded that. Blessed. See, God says that's his first stipulation. We need to be separated from the world. We need not to be of the world. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world. Do not allow the world to put their mold on you. That's what he's saying there. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I always remember it by going Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then I find it. So Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 2. It says, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. What's he talking about? This is God's command to the children of Israel. Actually, let's go back to verse 1 and we can see the whole picture here. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou shalt goest to possess it, talking about the land of Canaan, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And then he goes on in there in verse 2, he says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, neither show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt not give unto his son, and nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. See, that's what God's concern was. He knew if they would violate this stipulation, this command, that their hearts would be turned away from him. Then we see on down here, it says that you may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them, ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, and hath the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to the thousand generations. So there in Deuteronomy, he's sharing with us why we ought not to get involved with the world. We need not to yoke up with the world in our relationships, all aspects of our relationships. It never goes well when two people go into business together and one's a Christian, one's not. It never goes well because they don't think alike. They want to run it differently. So that's why God says, be not unequally yoked. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39 says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Catch the last part of the verse. Only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. The wife is able, if her husband was to die, to remarry to another man, but only in the Lord. That's what he's telling us here in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. This is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus, dealing with the walk of the believer as God's dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smell and savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Again, this is telling us not to be taking part of this. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're followers of God. We need to walk like followers of God. We need to talk like followers of God. Our walk should match our talk. So we see that in Ephesians chapter 5. One last verse we want to look at in this section is 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Another verse that comes to mind is in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Very familiar verse, very good verse. I think it's a good verse for us to memorize. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to guard our hearts, we need to guard our testimonies, and not be like the world. He says in Psalm 1 and verse 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We need to be separated from the world. But then we see there in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What do you delight most in life? What's your biggest delight in your life? Think about it. Is it truly seeking God? Is it truly getting into his word? Is reading his word on a daily basis, is that a delight to you? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I mentioned to you about what meditation is about. But the second point we see here is we need to be saturated with the word. We need to saturate ourselves. We understand what saturation is. We need to, it's just like being drenched with water and you continue to pour water on it, you're saturating it. You're getting it. It's just like when you cook something, cooking a turkey for Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving's coming up. You take a baster and you get some of the juices and you're constantly putting juice over it to saturate. You want that turkey to be moist, so you saturate it. He's telling us, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to be saturated with God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight should be God's word. We should be excited about getting into God's word. We should come to church expecting to hear from God from his word. We should be meditating on it day and night. We need to saturate ourselves. What's he say in Psalm 119 and verse 11? He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word is the only thing that will help us to keep from sinning against God. What did Jesus use in Matthew chapter 4? He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used God's word against Satan. God's word tells us also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He just previous to that, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, let's don't get too high of opinion of ourselves. We're not above sinning. We're not above, we still live in the flesh. But God says he's faithful to give us a way of escape. If we fail to take his way of escape, then we fall flat on our face. He'll let us do that when we choose not to listen to him. But we need to saturate ourselves with God's word. Why? Because it helps us to keep from sinning. We need God's word. We need a steady diet of God's word. We need to feed our spirit. What you feed most, according to Romans chapter 7, Paul says there's a great battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And what you feed the most is what's going to, think about it. If you don't feed your body, you feel faint, you get a headache. You don't have no strength, but then once you put some energy in it. So what you feed most, if you feed your body, your physical body, more than you do your spirit, then you're going to live like the world. But if you live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us, if we saturate our lives with God's word, then we're going to live as God would have us to live. Third thing, we see there in verse 3, he says, he that shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We stay separate from the world. We saturate our lives with God's word. We live obedient lives that are pleasing to him. Guess what? We're situated by the waters. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God's going to bless your life. When you're living for him, he's going to bless you. We got to remember and keep in mind that success and blessing are synonymous. They're one and the same. God's going to bless your life. In some people's eyes, they look at Christians and they don't look at them as being successful because they're comparing them to the wrong things. But in God's eyes, when we're living for him, he's going to bless us and we're going to prosper. And it's not always physical prosper. It might be spiritual prosper, being prosperous. But then we see the flip side of this. If we look at the last three verses, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We know what the chaff is. It's all that stuff that falls off the wheat when they shake it. The wheat falls down through the sift and the chaff just flies away. Because it's really light. That's what the wicked are like. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, just like in Psalms, there was a psalm where he was getting envious of the worldly people because it always seemed like they were being prospering and they were always having nice things. But then he says he went to the house of God and he realized their end. We got to realize that. That their end, this is their reward, because it doesn't get better than this if you're not saved. It gets worse. It's an eternity in hell. See, some folks never want to hear anything negative. Like the man who came home after a bad day at work and told his wife he didn't want to hear any bad news. So after thinking a moment, his wife says, "I have good news. Jimmy only broke one arm." See, we see there in Psalm 1, that 1 through 3, it lists both the negative and the positive commands because that's where the power is. Those who seek God's blessing must recognize and then reject the counsel of the ungodly by comparing it to Scripture. We need to compare everything we do to the Scriptures. Why? Because God's Word is truth. It's the only truth we can get today. Truth doesn't come from anywhere else but from God. See, then we must delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth we meditate day and night. And then in verse 3, as we read, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's success. Again, we see that God's formula for success is His Word. Saturate your family with God's Word, and He will bless you with success. That's one thing we've got to remember. So part of God's formula for success is His Word. We need to saturate ourselves with God's Word. Let's pray.